From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 10th day of September 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services will be here to look at the agricultural energy markets. We'll talk about the weather forecast with Don Day from Cheyenne, Wyoming. And we'll hear from the state statisticians in Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and Minnesota about crop conditions in their regions. And it all happens on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago for Tuesday afternoon. The nearby September soft red winter wheat at $6.33¾ was up a nickel for the day. July of next year, or the harvest month, at $6.60, up 3 cents. The hard red in Kansas City finished the July at $6.97¾, up 5¾. September corn futures were down 2½ cents at $4.74¾. December at $4.69, 5½ higher. March contract at $4.81¾, up 5¼, and the May futures at $4.95¼ higher. July contract at $4.96¾, up 5½ cents, and December corn of 2014 at $5.06, up 5½ cents. And for those of you who trade and were out in the December 2015 contract, you might want to settle up and look at that one, because it had an error last night that traded 22½ cents, so you may have gotten kicked out somewhere along the line. September soybean futures, $14.33¼, a half lower. November at $13.55, a penny and a half lower. January futures at $13.55¼, down a half. In the March at $13.38¼, unchanged. July beans at $13.03, unchanged. And November contract at $11.95¾, up 13. That was for the 2014 contract. Bean meal futures at $4.62.50, down $3.30 for the day. And the bean oil 8 cents lower at $42.73. Live cattle futures in the October contract at $128.65, 7½ cents lower. Feeder cattle at $157.77½ in the October, down 27½, and October lean hogs at $90.85, 2½ cents lower on the afternoon. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, nearby October contract, $107.36 a barrel. That's down $2.16. The RBOB gasoline or wholesale price at $2.73¾ a gallon, down 6¾ cents. Ethanol futures trading at $1.89½, a penny and 3 cents higher. The spread between the two is 84¾ cents, and that's 7¾ cents narrower than yesterday. Natural gas at $3.57¼, down 3¼ cents, and diesel fuel at $3.06¼, that's 5 cents lower. Gold futures finished up at $1,363.70 an ounce, down $22.70. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Sunny skies and hot, a high of 97 degrees on a southwest wind. It's a bit like a furnace out there at the moment at 10 miles an hour, gusting at 17. Partly cloudy this evening and a low of 67 on a southwest wind at 8. And then tomorrow, a 20% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms tomorrow. And it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 94 degrees. Wednesday evening, a 40% chance of rainfall, mostly cloudy and 67 in the Urbana area. Thursday, mostly sunny skies and 84 as we begin to cool down. North-northwest winds at 5 to 11. Thursday evening clear and will drop all the way to a low of 56. Friday, sunny skies and a beautiful 72 degrees. Friday night clear and 49. Saturday, sunny and 73. Saturday evening, mostly clear and 53. And on Sunday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 77 degrees. Partly cloudy by the time we get to Sunday evening and 57. And on Monday to start the work week, sunny skies and 76 degrees. More on the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Tuesday. On the phone line with us, Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
And that's always an interesting trade, and more so each time we get to the USDA report weeks. On Thursday, we'll get some numbers for the WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, but maybe more importantly, the size of the crop for corn and soybeans as they will be harvested this fall. The crop production numbers due out at 11 o'clock. What is your thought as we look forward to that USDA report?
Well, you know, the one thing that we're sort of realistic about is that our crop was planted late. We don't have quite the numbers firm in hand that we would like to have at this point in time. And there's still going to be estimates rather than, you know, pretty much halfway written in stone like they have in the past years when we've been this far along, Todd. So, you know, we know that we've had extremely hot weather and dry weather in a lot of the areas. We do look for some of the production numbers to go down from last month. The big question is, you know, how many harvested acres are we going to have in corn and beans to go along with the yields for the acres? So it's going to be a big report, you know, to look at, but will it be traded much after it's done? I think next month's going to be a bigger report than this one.
Will USDA mess much with the harvested acreage figure?
I don't think they will on this one. I could be wrong, but I don't think they will.
Absolutely. Then turn your attention to the WASDE numbers, because that one, as we head into the month of September, we haven't had a whole lot of corn that's been harvested, a lot less than last year, maybe, I don't know, a billion bushels left or something like that, or 800 million, somewhere along those lines. So we haven't been filling the bins up very quickly. Might that number go down, or do you think USDA has it tagged pretty well?
Well, excuse me, I think that the one thing we're going to probably see is, you know, the carry-in is going to actually show a little lower this year because we didn't have the new crop stocks to use and sort of decide where the fluctuation is, that number. This might be the year we needed to sort of straighten out where we really were as to know what's going on that way. So that could be a little bit beneficial that we actually just actually finally figure out what our carry-out number is.
Okay, soybeans, as we look forward to that, many have been worried about this crop for the last couple of weeks. Any better signs, or is it still suffering?
Well, I think that depends on where you're at. You know, we've started some early bean harvest over in our area. They've all been upper 50s and higher. It seems like the earlier the beans are planted, the better they are, and the shorter season that does seem to be. But we're hearing some very good yields. And then we read on news wires, we're out west, there's some beans that look good, but they don't have a whole lot of pods on them. So it's going to be very much wait and see what this bean crop turns out to be. And it could turn out to be some fairly tight numbers.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He is in Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. Of course, you can hear Wayne again if you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the latest crop progress report. It shows 92% of the corn crop is now in the dough stage. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 94%. 64% is in the dense stage compared to 75% on the rolling five-year average, and just 9% of the crop is matured. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 28%. 41% of the corn crop is said to be in good condition, 13% in excellent condition. That adds up to 54% in those two categories. Last week, the number was 42 and 14, or 56%, so it's dropped 2 percentage points in the last week. Turning our attention to soybeans now, 97% of the crop is set pods, 98% is the rolling five-year average, 11% of the crop is dropping its leaves. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 19%. 42% of the soybean crop in good condition, 10% in excellent. That's a total of 52% in those two categories. The numbers were 43 and 11, or 54% last week. So again, down 2 percentage points. Now here are the numbers as they came in this week from the state statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana.
This is Katie Andel, agricultural statistician for the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office. This was the driest week recorded since mid-January, although western parts of Iowa did see some precipitation. Statewide, rainfall averaged 0.04 of an inch, 5% of their normal amount. Rain of more than 0.5 inch occurred in parts of Woodbury, Monona, and Harrison counties, with a maximum report of 1.25 inches overnight Wednesday. Scattered showers did occur over the weekend, but much of the eastern two-thirds of the state received no measurable rainfall. Above-average temperatures allowed crops to mature, but crop conditions are showing stress from the heat and lack of moisture. Temperatures for the week averaged 4.3 degrees above normal, with a high of 100 degrees recorded at Lamoni, Knoxville, and Osceola on Friday. Topsoil and subsoil moisture levels rated in the adequate and surplus categories both fell 7 percentage points from last week, and now stand at 15 and 19%, respectively. Topsoil moisture was considered very short on over 50% of the acreage in the southern two-thirds of Iowa. Overall, the condition of both corn and soybeans declined from last week, with 35% of the corn crop and 33% of the soybean crop now rated in good to excellent condition. With almost the entire corn crop in the milk stage, 86% had reached the dough stage, 54% had reached the dent stage, and 5% is mature, over 2 weeks behind normal. Meanwhile, nearly all of the soybean crop was setting pods, and 12% had begun turning color, 35 percentage points behind normal. This is Katie Andel reporting from the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Temperatures were only slightly above normal across Illinois last week, but rainfall continued at below normal rates. The average rainfall for the week was slightly over 0.25 inch, more than 0.33 inch below the norm. As a result, there were 6.8 days suitable for field work last week, and soil moisture supplies declined. Topsoil moisture was rated as 31% very short, 48% short, and 21% adequate. Subsoil moisture supplies were rated 20% very short, 48% short, and 32% adequate. The corn crop is now 69% in the dent stage or beyond. That compares to 97% 1 year ago and 78% normally. Only 6% of acres are reported as mature. The condition of the crop was reported as 14% in very poor or poor condition, 31% in fair condition, and 55% in good or excellent condition. That is just slightly worse than 1 week ago. The soybean crop was reported as 18% turning yellow, compared to 57% last year and 37% normally. 3% of acres are now dropping leaves. The condition of the soybean crop was reported as 16% in very poor or poor condition, 35% in fair condition, and 49% in good or excellent condition. Soybean conditions are also slightly worse than 1 week ago. This is Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report. Soil moisture supplies continue to decline in Minnesota. Almost 1/3 of the state's topsoil and 23% of the subsoil was rated very short, as many areas received no precipitation during the week. Northwest Minnesota had the most rainfall at 0.29 inches. The statewide average rainfall amount was only 0.05 inches. Minnesota's average temperature was 4.4 degrees above normal to reach 66.9 degrees average. Nearly all of the state's corn was at or beyond the milk stage. Corn was 85% at or beyond the dough stage, remaining almost a week behind the average, which is 94%. Corn is 50% dented. That compares to last year's 95%. Scattered observations of mature corn were reported this week. Corn conditions were rated 3% very poor, 10% poor, 36% fair, 44% good, and 7% excellent. 98% of soybeans were setting pods. That compares to the average of 100%. 27% of soybeans are turning yellow, well behind last year's 81%. 7% of soybeans are dropping leaves. That's 5 days behind normal. Soybean conditions rated 51% good or excellent. The spring wheat harvest at 91% complete moved slightly ahead of the 5-year average of 89%. This week corn harvest advanced 14 percentage points to reach 70%, but remained behind the normal of 76%. For the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NASS, and this is a crop progress and condition report for the week ending September 8th. Warm daytime temperatures and little rain took its toll on the corn and soybean crops last week. Total precipitation from Monday, September 2nd through Sunday, September 8th, ranged from zero in several locations to just 0.2 inches at Tell City. Temperatures ranged from 3 degrees below normal to 4 degrees above normal, with a low of 45 at Wanata and a high of 90 at Vincennes. A few operations began harvesting corn last week, mainly to try out equipment and test grain moisture. Many cornfields are reported to be dying prematurely, which is causing concern as to the effect on final grain weight. 95% of the corn acreage is in the dough stage compared to the 100% last year and 96% for the five-year average. 67% of the corn acreage is in the dent stage and 9% is mature and safe from frost. Condition of the corn crop fell from last week when 66% of the acreage was rated to be in good to excellent condition and is now rated 61% good to excellent. This compares with just 9% last year at this time. Soybean fields are rapidly turning color and shedding leaves with some reports of aborted pods and small beans. 13% of the soybean acreage is shedding leaves compared with 39% last year and 26% for the five-year average. Soybean condition also declined and is now rated 55% good to excellent compared with 62% last week and 24% last year. And other crops being harvested around the state last week were seed corn, processing tomatoes, corn silage, mint, and tobacco. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
Our thanks to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress in their areas.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, joined by Gary Schnittke, Farm Management Specialist at the U of I, part of the FarmDoc team. You can find his pinnings on the website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. The latest offering is about cash rent. USDA released on Friday, September the 6th, the latest cash rent study, and you took those numbers and started to finagle them just a little bit. Did some studies on them. Gary, tell me about it, please.
Yeah, we USDA released its county cash rents for 2013. There's obviously quite a range there. Our highest cash rent was for DeWitt County. It had an average cash rent of $385, and the lowest was Johnson County with $69 an acre. But what we did was we took those cash rents, those county cash rents, and related it to the 2013 trend line yield for those counties to see the relationship that exists between productivity and average cash rent.
And it's important to remember that this is a trend line yield, so this would be the trend line produced by USDA, and then you plotted this along with the cash rents. Did you find anything interesting?
Well, as you would expect, there is a relationship between expected yields and cash rents. Essentially, we developed an equation that would tell you what average cash rents were for any particular trend line yield, and that's reported in the paper, but it is minus 227 plus 2.7 times your expected yield. So that gives you the feel for that. We fitted that relationship, and that fits the data pretty well, but there are outliers.
What kind of exceptions are there? And maybe you can talk about from one end of the state to the other.
Yeah, the exceptions, the biggest exceptions or the largest positive exceptions from that are in Central Illinois. And when we fit that relationship and then calculate what rents would be implied for that, there's a number of Central Illinois counties that have much higher cash rents than would be implied by that relationship. And those include DeWitt County, Logan County, Sangamon County, Macon County. All those Central Illinois farms have higher cash rents than would be implied by that productivity relationship, and that's likely due to just the competitive pressures in that area for farmers wanting to rent more land.
And so there are more large cash renters, or just more cash renters in general, bidding for the same piece of property.
That would be what this would suggest. And you know, when you think of Central Illinois, you think of pretty aggressive bidding for cash rents.
Simple supply and demand. So it's above the cash rent that would be along the trend line. Is it far enough outside of the trend line that makes much difference to the profitability of those farms, do you think?
It would. And let me just give you a feel for this. Let's just take Sangamon County. It's $110 higher than would be explained by that relationship. So yeah, that would have a pretty big impact on profitability.
That would mean somebody's operating on the margin on every acre, and probably more than one somebody is operating on the margin.
Yeah, and again, you know, the That is the one area, the central Illinois area, where if you're looking at, you know, sub-5 corn, we might have to see some downward pressure on cash rents, simply because if we keep those rents up there at those levels, it will be difficult for many farmers to generate positive cash flows, particularly if they have a lot of cash rent land.
Do the numbers from the FBFM records bear out what you saw in this in terms of what the incomes or net income per acre might be?
When we compare FBFM numbers to NAS numbers on a county-by-county basis, they come out fairly close to one another. There can be variations between FBFM and the NAS numbers. And I attribute that to the simple fact that there's a lot of variability in cash rent. So if you take one sample of farms and compare it to another sample, they'll be close, but there's still variability out there.
Yeah, even from year to year. For instance, DeWitt County changed substantially
DeWitt County changed. It went up close to $100 an acre. And a lot of that sampling, but a lot of that probably is some pretty aggressive cash renting going on in that county.
Gary, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Gary Schnitke, Farm Management Specialist at the University of Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. On Tuesdays, we always check the agricultural energy market. Stephen Flatt of Archer Financial Services is on the phone line with us to do that today. Good afternoon to you, Stephen.
Good afternoon, Todd, and all your listeners.
Well, tell me about crude oil and ethanol, the spreads between the two, and what you've seen in the energy markets. I suppose Syria is the biggest game in town.
Certainly it's still in the background and providing a lot of uncertainty in terms of the market. I do have to think that the highs are in, even if we do take an attack route, which is at this point very uncertain. Today's market reflected the movement by Russia to try to put some controls on the weapons in Syria or chemical weapons in Syria, and the U.S. possibly going along with that move. It's still a very fluid situation and one that is still, I think, very much up for grabs. But even so, the market fundamentals are still, I think, apparent in terms of that the market is well supplied. And that was made, that statement was even made by OPEC here today in terms of their monthly report. They still point to a surplus next year, which will force OPEC to cut their production levels, which could be quite difficult. And I think that will force overall price levels down once we take the risk premium associated with the Syrian situation out of the equation. Inventories right now are a comfortable 58-plus days of consumption in OECD countries. I think you have to think in terms of some of the emerging markets, which have shown some weakness in terms of their economies, that supplies there have also built up. So I think overall we are in pretty good shape in terms of both crude and even products in this country. And we are seeing the U.S. Move to a surplus situation as well. There's forecasts out that in 2020 we will have a surplus situation. Ethanol right now is still weak relative to gasoline, and I think we're still looking at a pretty abundant situation as well.
So you suggested the contract high may be in, I think, in the October. That would be up around $112.24 a barrel. We're trading 107.27. What's your downside objective?
Well, I think the market eventually will probably see in maybe early 2014, probably as low as maybe in the 88 85 area. I think this market probably is entitled to go down there, particularly as we see the supplies, U.S. supplies of crude, move to the areas that need it most.
Ethanol is trading $1.89.5 at this time. It's a high on the contract, at least, is 2.32¢. It seems pretty cheap, but you're better at that than I am.
It's cheap relative to gasoline. I think in terms of margins right now, you are seeing some pretty good ethanol margins for the manufacturers of ethanol, which is going to, I think, keep that sector still rolling. I've heard of reports of them even moving to take in corn and dry it themselves, and that's becoming more and more a possibility, I think, here at the ethanol plants.
Steve, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
My pleasure.
Steven,
have a great day.
You too. Steven Platt is with Archer Financial Services. He's located in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear him again, you can always do that by listening to the Closing Market Report at willag.org. The address there, again, willag.org. While you're there, check out everything else we have to offer, including our Outlook panels. Days and dates are scheduled right there in the calendar.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming, always joins us. Good afternoon to you, Don. It's warm here, but I'm told where you are, there's a big cool draft, and maybe it's coming our way.
Yeah, it is. The recent spell of hot weather that's gone 2 to 3 weeks in many areas of the nation's midsection is showing signs that it's starting to break down. These things don't break down terribly quickly, but we will see temperatures cool. Temperatures and conditions are going to trend back to normal over the next week or so. You're going to start to see that cooling here in a couple of days. That cooler air will spread across the Great Lakes and into the Northeast as well. So it will, by this weekend and late this week, start to feel a little bit more like September should.
By comparison to our 94 degrees expected this afternoon, you're kind of cold today, aren't you?
Yeah, there are temperatures out in the Rockies that won't even hit 70 degrees today. Even portions of far western Nebraska will only make the 70. So there is a little bit of fall in the air, but it's going to take a couple more days to get here.
Yeah, what we would really like is for that cool weather to come a bit with some rainfall. I'm not certain that that's the case.
No, right now the air mass that's coming out of central Canada, as most central Canadian air masses are, they're just not real moist. Now we do see maybe late in the weekend and early next week some moisture, which is actually places you don't expect it, the desert southwest and some of the southern Rockies, that could be brought up in portions of the Corn Belt late this weekend and early next week, bringing some thunderstorm activity our way. But it's going to be spotty. It's nothing we can count on, and it may not be until the middle to the end of next week, stretching out all the way towards sometime around the 20th of September and thereafter, where our chances of rain get better.
Do those chances of rain getting better come along with another change in temperature?
Well, we will see this cool down. We will see the temperatures warm up, although not to the levels that we've seen here lately. But I don't see that better rain chance towards the 20th month coming with any really big shock of cold or any real big warm up, rather than temperatures just trending, wanting to be close to normal.
Take me around the planet and the places you find of most interest.
Well, let's go over East Asia. Let's take a look at China. They've had a relatively wet pattern here over the last week to 10 days. It's not as moist, but many areas of China, especially the central southern areas, looking at nearly ideal conditions here at the end of the season. Fairly good chances for precipitation, temperatures close to normal.
Thank you so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for a Tuesday afternoon, and that wraps it up. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.